This is episode 226 on October 5th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Greg McMillan.
Greetings, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about you?
I'm doing good. Dave couldn't make it today. He is under the weather, so keep him in your prayers. Hopefully he'll get better soon and back to his usual self, and he'll be here next week. But we're thinking of Dave. But in the meantime, we have Greg McMillan, who's been on for what? This is twice
in a row? Third week in a row.
Third week in a row. Woohoo!
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, Dave shot me a message, and he goes, "Man, I'm sorry, it's last minute." I'm like, "Whatever, I don't care." You know,
yeah, we got this.
We're flexible, and so I was like, "Hey, Greg, do you want to come on?" And he's like, "Yeah." You know.
So, yeah, whenever I'm not working, I'm always glad to pitch in.
Yeah. So, what have you been doing? What'd you do this week?
Well, I have been enjoying some time off. This is actually my regular scheduled week off that I have once a month because I work 12-hour shifts on a funny shift rotation. So,
oh, okay, I get scheduled days off. I don't get scheduled weeks off. But I But I sometimes will say, "Hey, can I take this week off?" They're like, "Sure." I'm like, "Woohoo!"
Oh, nice. But I get 12 weeks off a year on top of my regular holidays that I get. So
nice.
But getting to this week off is a little tough though, just with the 12-hour shifts and days and nights and everything. But yeah, I've been enjoying some of the nice weather we're having up here. Had a couple of rainy days, or yesterday I think was a rainy day, but you know, we've had a lot of sunshine, which is good, but I really like to shoot on an overcast day, so yesterday was kind of a wash. I couldn't get out. It was too wet. But today was, you know, cloudy with some sun, and my wife and her mother and I, we took a drive to this place. We have a beach on the lake here on shoreline called Sauble Beach, and it's 7 miles of beach. But there's a north of that, there's a cascade, a small cascade of waterfalls that extends probably like each little cascade is only a few feet. But by the time it gets down to the river, you're probably 300 or 400 yards from the bridge.
Oh, okay.
Where it starts. So it's kind of a neat place for photography. And this is about the time of year the salmon are running up river. So if you're lucky, you might see a salmon jumping up one of the cascades. I didn't see any, but but they are running. Anyway, so I took my iPhone 8 Plus, and yesterday I got my Moment photo case for it, so I was able to take my Moment lenses with me, and I was just trying out some slow shutter stuff and some live photo stuff where I can save it as a long exposure to get the, you know, the smooth flow of the water. And you know, the nice thing about using an iPhone for that kind of stuff is that on the brightest of days, you can still get the effect you want. You know, with a DSLR, you have to have the dark filters and everything on it just to slow it down enough and all that stuff. But anyway, yeah, so I had a lot of fun doing that today, and some of the results were pretty good, and I was also testing something that I discovered yesterday after I got my Moment case, but we'll get to that in a second. It was fun. I got a new tripod the other day the other week too. So it's the first time I really had a chance to use it.
Nice.
And you know, nothing like a nice steady set of legs to hold it.
Yep.
And how about you? Have you been shooting anything this week?
I didn't do a whole lot, mainly of my kids. We're at our church. We have this performance that's going to happen on Sunday. And so my weekends are sort of filled up with running the soundboard. And so I did take a picture of the soundboard, but I'm not going to post it because that would be kind of boring. And I didn't really take a whole lot of photos. I could have, but this last weekend was my wife's and mine, our 13th wedding anniversary. And so,
well, congratulations.
Thank you. So we drove up to the mountains, and instead of taking pictures, I just spent time with her. So,
you know, sometimes you have to live in the moment, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No. So, but you know, I've been playing around with the live photos. Before, I didn't really mess with the live photos. I thought they were kind of, too much of a hassle, or, you know, a pain.
Gimmicky?
Yeah, kind of gimmicky. Yeah. And there wasn't really anything for me, you know, ooh, it moves. That's great. Now with the new features, I've been playing with them more, and I really like the slow shutter effect. But Mark's actually threatening to come on the show and talk about the slow shutter effect. So hopefully this next week he may be here. And cause he is always one for getting the slow shutters is the live photo, effect going to, how is it going to weigh against a slow shutter cam and all that? Cause you know, slow shutter cam has its quirks, but I know that the live photo, slow shutter has its quirks also. And so he's probably right now putting it through the ringer and is going to, check back with us on what he finds and see which is, you know, is it a good substitute, or is slow shutter cam still going to be king? But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like I said, I did try a little bit of the comparison today, but really not enough to, give a well-informed opinion on it.
Sure. And you know, you have to put yourself in a position where you're using a subject that is normally used with the slow shutter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not always in those situations, and you know, it doesn't, and for the most part, to get a really good one, like you, said, you have a good sturdy tripod. You need something like that. The nice thing is, you know, the live photos can give you a nice image without a tripod, but you know, are you utilizing it to its fullest? That's the question.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I think I mentioned, I guess it was last week, when I first got my 8 Plus, I tried a live photo around this little stump sticking out of the water, and that worked pretty good. But you know, when you look at the image up close, you know, it's not as crystal clear as I would have liked it, but
sure.
It was handheld with the, stabilized wide angle. I mean, it was, you know, it was a pretty good first effort, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right, Greg, I'm handing the helm over to you.
Okay. I alluded to something that I discovered when we first opened up here. And what I discovered was that I was a little perplexed and surprised and maybe even slightly disappointed, but now that I know more about what I'm going to talk about here, kind of blown away a little bit. As I said yesterday, I got the Moment photo case, and I can now put my Moment lenses on there. However, the new case is made for the version 2 Moment lens, so I had to get these little adapters to come with them. So that's, you know, they were $5 a piece, so that's not a big deal. And once you put them on, they're supposed to stay on. They stick on really well. So I've got 3 lenses. I had to get 3 adapters. But anyway, so I put the telephoto on. I'm sitting at the dining room table, and we got a little Yorkie, and she's laying on the floor at the far end of the living room. So I thought, okay, let's see how this is going to look if I zoom in. With this moment telephoto lens on. It's like the equivalent of a 60 millimeter.
Yeah.
So I took the shot and I kind of accidentally hit the 2x zoom on the phone. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not going to work because it's going to switch to the other lens, which is behind the moment lens.
Yeah.
When suddenly I'm looking at the phone and it zoomed. I could see the other end of the room. And I thought, well, this can't be right because it's supposed to switch lenses. It's a wide angle and a telephoto.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got doing some research and I found a post on CNET from a year ago when the 7 Plus came out, and it talks about what happens when you try to zoom with either the 7 Plus or the 8 Plus, and the lighting is just not quite what you need it to be. What it does is it zooms the wide angle, and it'll also give you a little bit of help from the telephoto in the central part of the image to fill in some of that, give you a little more detail. Because when you digitally zoom, of course, it's
pixelated.
You know, it's pixelated. It never works. So I thought it was really interesting that they're doing this. And so I did a test outside today, and I posted it in the Facebook group. When I first did the test, it didn't work because I had the moment wide angle or the moment telephoto lens on, and when I switched it, it actually did switch cameras. But it's because the ambient light was fairly bright, and it would have been bright enough for that telephoto lens in the phone.
Yeah.
So then I moved to a little darker part of the yard, and I kind of looked at this hanging flower plant, and then put the grass in the background, and it was just dark enough that it actually zoomed with the wide angle through the moment lens. So the first picture I took was at 2x zoom with the moment tele lens on, and then I just went to the normal zoom with the moment lens. Then I popped the lens off. I used I zoomed it 2x zoom without the moment lens, which was basically almost the same as the normal zoom with the moment lens. This is going to sound confusing. But then finally, I just took a normal shot with the wide angle lens with no moment lens or anything. So I've got a really good close up of the flowers. And then the next two shots are sort of close. And then the last shot with just the wide angle is just like a wide angle shot. And of course, when you do wide angle, everything looks further in the distance. So I just thought it was really interesting how Apple's doing this. And I mean, they're not the only ones doing it. There's other companies with dual lens cameras doing it too. But I just jotted down a few notes here from this story. In lower light conditions, the second camera doesn't work. The wide angle lens actually zooms digitally, but you still get a 12 megapixel image.
Right.
I thought that was interesting too. The wide angle lens is optically stabilized and has a wider aperture. So Apple is giving us the best image possible for the conditions that you're shooting.
Yeah.
And now this is where the blending happens, is when you zoomed on the wide angle, you can still zoom a little bit. When you're between 1.5x and 2x zoom, if you're somewhere in there, then the telephoto lens will blend higher res imagery into the central part of that frame. And Apple calls this fusion. So the second camera gives sharper detail to avoid that digital muddiness of a zoomed photo.
And this is without the moment lens being on there.
This is all without the moment lens. Yeah. So it happens with the moment lens if it's dark enough. But I mean, with the moment lens, you're just getting, you know, even closer. Just like it's illustrated in that Facebook post I put on.
Yeah.
This is going to sound hard to follow, I think, but
well, I'm okay. So I'm I had to pull up those photos. So if you're in the Facebook group, you can pull it up. I'll post these images, if you don't mind, on the website. Sure. So in the show notes, yep. So that people can see what you're talking about. Because there's four photos. One says normal wide angle without moment lens attached. The other one is 2x zoom without moment lens. Mm-hmm. And then there's the normal zoom with the telephoto moment lens. And then the 2x zoom with the moment lens telephoto. And so the 2x zoom, you're the moment lens is on the wide angle or on the telephoto?
It only works on the wide angle.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I tried it over the telephoto and it just doesn't do anything.
So
you can't see.
So when it's trying to comp or do the fusion, it's being blocked by the moment lens?
Well, the fusion only occurs if the phone automatically zooms the wide angle.
Oh.
You think it's the telephoto, but it's actually the wide angle that's zooming.
Okay.
So if anybody's listening and they have a 7 Plus or an 8 Plus, I don't think it works on the 6 Plus because it only works with phones that will do the portrait mode type of thing. But anyway, if you're in a room that's not so bright, like just maybe a lamp is on, put your finger over the telephoto lens and then in the camera app, try zooming with the where it says 1x at the bottom. Hit that to 2x and go back and forth. And I'm very confident that that thing will zoom for you. But what it's doing is what we've been talking about. It's zooming the wide angle lens. Hmm. If you're out in bright sunlight and you try the same thing, you hit the 2x button to switch lenses, it will actually switch lenses.
Yeah.
Because it's bright enough that the 2.8 aperture of the telephoto lens, it will still produce a good quality image.
Yeah.
So they're doing all this stuff to try to give you the best image possible. So you have to credit them for that. I mean, I was just a little blown away by this whole thing. Like, you know, why is this even working in the first place? You know, it's the geek in me that I had to find out.
Yes. Well, I would imagine now that you have something to kind of aim at. So, you know, we'll have to get you back on to give us an update on it.
Yeah, I'll try to produce a better set of images maybe. You know, maybe I'll put something on my website and link it over, something that I can, you know, pay a little more attention to and be a little more in depth with.
Yeah, sure. I think there's going to be other stuff that we're going to find, especially with the new iPhones. I'm curious when somebody gets a 10 on what they're going to be able to do with it. And
you know, the camera systems, I don't think are that much different, especially under the hood, because they're both using like the 8 Plus and the 10 are going to be using the same chipsets and everything.
Sure.
The only difference I think is the aperture in the wide angle or in the telephoto, sorry. And the fact that the telephoto is also optically stabilized.
Yeah. Yeah,
And then that's on the back side. On the front side, then you've got a lot more technology with the the true depth camera on the front. That's going to allow you to take amazingly great selfies. But I mean, it gives you that Face ID too.
Right. I don't know. It may be a few years before I get to that point because I'm still going to stick with the smaller version, which doesn't have all the bells and whistles. And
well, the 10 is smaller than the pluses, but with a bigger screen. You know, physically, still, the 10 is it's big. It's kind of in between the 7 or the 8 and then the plus models. It's in between them, but it has a bigger screen than all of them.
I'm curious to see if the 8 is the same dimensions as the 7.
Yes, because the case I got from Moment, it says 7 plus on it.
Oh,
it fits the 8 plus.
Okay.
So the same would go with the... the only difference in them really is the fact that the 8s are glass-backed.
Sure.
And the 7s aren't.
I wonder,
you know, as far as construction.
I wonder if that's going to work with my stylus case.
Well, if it'll fit your 7, it'll fit the 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to try that. Because I know that between the 6 and the 7, there was definitely a change with the camera. And
it changed positions,
It didn't work with my old case, which I still have.
Yeah. So, by the way, something else that maybe should be noted is I had to order a new Moment wide lens.
Oh.
Because with the optics and I had the iPhone 6S.
Yeah.
And it's like the equivalent of a 28mm camera lens.
Yes.
The new one is like a 29mm, so the optics are slightly different.
Yep.
I put the wide angle on the Moment case, and there's like black in the corners, like it's really heavily vignetted.
Yeah. Okay.
So I put a direct message on Twitter to Moment, and I said, you know, hey, what's up with this? Is this normal or whatever? So then while I was waiting for a response, I perused their website, and I found where they did say that, yes, the first edition of the lenses will have that vignetting. So, you know, they come back and they said, yeah, that's, you know, whatever it was they said. And I said, well, I said, pack me up a wide angle because I'm ordering one.
Yeah.
And they comically sent me a little animated GIF of a box rolling down the conveyor system.
That's awesome.
They're pretty good people.
Yeah, I noticed with the stylus, there was a difference between the fisheye lenses on each of the carousels. Each of these companies are making changes to keep up with the different styles and the different characteristics of these phones. So I imagine it's a big deal when a new phone comes out and there's something different. You know, you have to retool all the specs when it comes to the lenses to be able to work. And, you know, does the new wide angle work with a 7 plus or a 7? You know, how, you know, being that it is different, is there going to be maybe some positive side effects or negative side effects? So, you know, these are things that you're going to have to research.
I know Moment does a pretty good job of staying current.
Yeah.
The Google Pixel 2 was just announced yesterday, and they're already taking pre-orders for cases and stuff like that. Maybe they're already ready. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But that phone just came out, and they're pushing stuff for it too.
Very cool.
They're pretty quick at getting. I don't know if maybe Apple sends them, or these companies maybe send them, prototypes or whatever. But they're pretty quick to get to stay current.
Well, especially like Moment and Stylus and Olaclip, I would think that they have some sort of like a non-disclosure agreement. We'll send you a phone so that you can make a case and see if the optics still work or if you have to retool the optics I mean,
if they send Austin Mann a new phone to go and test in the field before release.
Oh yeah.
I could see them sending something like that to these companies.
Yeah. Especially because I don't think Stylus does it for any of the Android. Well, I take that back. No,
I think I heard about them doing it for a Samsung.
Oh, I don't have their
one time.
Here, this is a quick research. Let's do this. ZTYL stylus. Let's see what they have. And this is for our Android listeners. All right. So we have the revolver kit for the 7s, 6s, the 5s, and yeah, Galaxy S7.
Well, there you go.
So they do have a revolver kit for the S7. Let's see what they have for the primes. They got the 6 and 6 Plus. They don't even have it for the 7? Interesting. All right. And let's see. I think that's... Oh, here's the dual optic kit. So that's for the pluses. Okay. Because I don't think there's a...
So it looks like they're geared heavily for the iPhone community.
Yeah.
With a little bit of love for Samsung right now.
Let me look Olo clip. It looks like they have just iPhone. I don't see any other phones manufacturers. So yeah, it's
some of their stuff though can be clipped on just about anything, can they not?
Well, no, because they're specifically formed to the phone. Like,
oh, okay.
The Olo
clip, yeah, for the optics.
Yes. So the Olo clip that I have is for the 4S.
Okay, and in the legacy page for Olo clip, they have iPhone 5C, Samsung Galaxy S4, S5.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, it looks like that's the only Android phones is the Galaxy S4 and the S5.
Yeah,
so and that's under a legacy section of it. So those are obviously for older phone models.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're probably more inclined to find stuff for the iPhone. It's hit and miss for the Android market because there are so many wide varieties in phones that they can't keep up with every single phone that comes out. And that's the downfall of owning an Android, because there are so many different body styles.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not to say that iPhone's better, but when you have a market the size of iPhone and there's limited number of devices, it's a lot easier to meet the demands that are going to be there. But
Bill in the chat room says, where do you think all this is going? How much more can phone manufacturers do in the camera area? I think they've got some stuff they can do yet. I know the Samsung Galaxy S8 has a 16 megapixel sensor and the iPhone's still at 12. So I think the iPhone can make improvements that way and perhaps make the pixels even bigger for better low light performance. This computational photography stuff, it's just really getting started. So, you know, like I say, when I read about this stuff that the iPhone is doing with these two lenses, I was kind of blown away. And this technology is a year old. And maybe it's because I didn't have a Plus phone that I didn't, you know, stumble upon this earlier. But if this is the kind of stuff that's been out for a year, who knows where they could take it.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain we have not plateaued in the in what they can do with the cameras. They can always make larger megapixel cameras. The problem is a small camera and larger megapixels doesn't equate to better. That's why Apple has always kind of kept it on the lower side. Just Not to say that they're too good for a pixel war. It's that they realize what these phones can actually do. And so,
and that's the operative word there, phone.
Yeah.
Right? It's a mobile device.
Exactly. The larger your sensor is, the more pixels you can pack in there, the better quality you get. But, you know, these things aren't getting bigger. You know, they're making slight adjustments. And, you know, they've always been criticized. Oh, you only have this size sensor. Or, it only produces this size image. But it was they're going after quality, not jumping into the pixel wars. You know, this isn't Canon and Nikon in the mid-2000s that are, you know, fighting to see who can put out the camera with the better megapixels and, you know, try to lure people to their side of the fence. You know, with the sensors that Canon and Nikon are dealing with, the possibilities are enormous. But still, you know, 50 megapixels, who needs 50 megapixels?
Yeah, exactly.
It's outrageous.
Bill says it certainly killed the point and shoot camera industry.
Yeah, and it did.
But, you know, I think you can say that mobile photography has got as high as it's going to go if it ever kills the DSLR community.
Yeah.
Which I really don't think it will. I mean, I think mirrorless is going to hurt the DSLRs more than anything.
Yes. And the reason why the point and shoot cameras were hit hard was these phones fit better in our pockets than a point and shoot does. You know,
and we always have them with us, right?
And we had connectivity and you know, all these things that we can do. It was a computer in our pocket that you can talk to somebody on the phone, message them, and take pictures. There's so many things you can do that a point and shoot can't, but you know, that doesn't always translate to it's better, because there's a lot of point and shoots out there that are 10 times better quality wise than the phones that are in our pockets. But, you know, not everybody's going for better. You know, everybody is trying to capture something. Not everybody is a photographer. Not everybody who owns a Android or an Apple are out there trying to create the best images with the small, you know, compact, you know, cameras that we have in here. Many people are out there just wanting to capture moments. That's all they want.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and then you got crazy nuts like me who gets their DSLR to go strictly iPhone.
Well, you know, I'm not far from that, because mine's sitting right over there in the corner. Don't tell my wife, you know, but it's sitting over there in the corner collecting dust. And, you know, I use it, but not nearly as much as I use my iPhone. She bought that for me. So I, you know, I'm always gonna, you know, enjoy using it and taking it out, but you know,
you use it all the time.
I use it all the time to, you know, put things on. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's so true. I mean, you'll bring out that DSLR for, you know, very important things that you want to photograph.
Yes.
Things that, you know, things where the phone just won't do it. But that just happens to be not as often as, you know, pulling out the phone. And you know, for me personally, I like the challenge of trying to get a fantastic image with the phone.
Yep.
I don't know. I just like it.
Yeah, the next adventure with that camera is going to be video, and it's out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to have to challenge myself to use the video on that Canon, because I want to start doing video and utilizing the depth of field and the large sensor that is in that camera versus what I have with my iPhone. I'll always video with my iPhone, but if I truly am going to challenge myself, it's going to be in the video arena.
Yeah. That's something that I hardly ever did with my DSLR was video. The one I had was the Canon 60D, and
it wouldn't
track focus, and you can hear the lens every time it did shift focus, and it was annoying. So I just never bothered with it. But like Bill in the chat says, they're really good for sports and wildlife.
Yes.
You know, you just can't, you can do a little bit of sports with an iPhone. Wildlife at the zoo, that's about it.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. Anything else that you wanted to mention on your little discovery?
Just kind of on a bit of a tangent, with regard to the high efficiency image file or image format, I found a YouTube video where they talked briefly about, you know, is it as good as JPEG or is it better or worse? I mean, the big deal about it is the fact that it takes up a lot less space, probably about half as much space as a JPEG. And Apple touts that it's, you know, the quality is just as good. And these guys in this video said they did some testing and, you know, with the HEIF, I think they pronounce it.
Yeah.
You tend to maybe lose a wee bit of clarity in the shadow areas compared to a JPEG. Something else they talked about was the iPhone has the ability to do 4K video at 60 frames per second, but it'll only do that if you have the image format set to high efficiency.
Oh, so you have to set it. It's not auto magic.
No. I don't know what you'll get if you have it set to most compatible. That's the two choices of image formats, is high efficiency and most compatible, which would obviously be JPEG or normal kind of a video codec. If you have it set to high efficiency, it'll do the HEVC or the high efficient video codec. But if you wanted to get the 60 frames per second at 4K, then it has to be set to high efficiency. And I guess that's because, you know, it's making a much smaller video size, you know, so it could probably write faster maybe.
Okay, so I went into the settings and I was like, okay, I got to find it. And I'm looking, if you go to the camera under settings, you'll have formats, which is just above the HDR.
And for those listening, this is only for the 7, 7 Plus, 8, and 8 Plus.
Yes.
The 6S doesn't even have this.
So it says high efficiency and then most compatible. And it says to reduce file size, capture photos and videos in the high efficiency, which is the HEIF or the HEVC format. Most compatible will always use JPEG. Oh, good. Because now I can do the test and see if there's anything that I can see with it. And I will get back to everybody on that too.
And there it is at the end of that. It says, but 4K, 60 frames per second and 1080 at 240 frames per second will not be available to record video. That's on when you have it set to most compatible. Oh, if you have it set to high efficiency, then you can do those.
Yeah, see, I didn't have that at the end of mine because I have the 7. So,
Okay.
I think mine will only do 4K at 30 frames a second, but I don't think it matters if it's high efficiency or most compatible.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Well, that's something else for us to research and get back to everybody with. If anybody wants to
get on that, Mark.
Yeah. If anybody wants to do it also, by all means, do your tests and then post it on Facebook and we'll look at those results too.
Definitely.
All right, well, let me go ahead and play this. All right, it is time for our post pick of the week, and we are going to our weekly photo challenge, which was Twisted. And let me pull it up because it is right here. Okay, it is my turn to pick, and we had some pretty awesome submissions, and the one I am going to choose is of a little tree that has been twisted together. It's called A Little Twisted. And this was done by Mike, Paschel. I hope I said that correctly. And he shot it with the 6S Plus, and he used Snapseed and Tada SLR to edit. And I like it. It's very moody. There's the background is half dark, half light, but the details to the tree are really good. You can see the texture of the little tree. I like the green of the leaves and his use of the depth of field with Tada. What are your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, it's you know, it. I don't know if there's. I think it was Bill Counts put one. Yeah, he put one in there of a bunch of garden hoses and extension cords all twisted up.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good one. But this really does, you know, it has twisted written all over it. It looks like there's four sprouts or whatever, or small trunk. This is in, it looks like it's in a flower bed or something.
Yeah.
And it's four of them that are just all intertwined, and it almost looks like it's braided.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool. I mean, whoever grew this thing is a genius.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's either in the early morning or in the evening. So the sun is has a nice warm tone to it. You know, the twisted tree, I guess we'll call it, is kind of a warmed up color a bit. And, you know, with all the depth of field and stuff going on, it really makes for a cool image.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So congratulations, Mike. You are our post pick of the week. If you are interested in becoming post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and look for our pinned post, which is our weekly photo challenge. And every other week we pick a winner, and we usually have a challenge that is challenging, to say the least, because some weeks we have a ton of submissions. And then other weeks, it's really rough. You know, we're like, oh, maybe we should extend it a little bit longer. But for the most part, you know, everybody's pretty good about submitting a photo. So if you want to participate, please go on there and do it. We also have our our Instagram group, where we use the hashtag #TinyShutter, and we choose an image from there on the off week from that group. And it's not topic sensitive, so we just go in there and find images that we like, and believe me, it's hard because there's a lot of great images in there. So you have two ways of being able to participate, and so I highly recommend that you give it a try. All right, well, Mark called me today and had a suggestion, and this dovetails into something that was brought up off microphone. Is we're going for this next weekly photo challenge. It's going to be a freestyle, which means, you know, anything can go. But what we're going to do is the images that are submitted are going to be part of a video that is going to accompany our podcast. And
oh, nice.
And so we're going to put that up on YouTube. And we've been threatening to do it. We're finally, you know, we're finally at that point where it's like, okay, we need to do it. And so any images that are submitted to the Facebook group for the weekly photo challenge are going to be used for our rolling image, I guess, video.
Yeah, slideshow.
Slideshow, thank you. It'll be for our slideshow when we produce our podcast for YouTube. And so you're not going to see our beautiful faces, thank goodness. But you will see the images of our listeners who are participating in the weekly photo challenge. We will still pick a single winner for our album art and the Facebook banner, but all the images, as long as they are safe to show, will be in the video. So, yeah, if here's the caveat: if you don't want your image in the slideshow, let us know. Because all the images that are going to be posted to that pinned post will be submitted for the video. And if you don't want it, just put in the comments that you don't want it on there. And we will do our best to remember to look and make sure that that image is not put into the video. Because some people are very particular on their images and where they go. I think it's very difficult to steal images from a YouTube video. But, you know, when things are submitted and are put in the post, you're giving us permission to put it on a video. So we just want to let everybody know. And that will be part of the pinned post also.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All be right. Transparent about it.
Yeah, well, we try to, you know, we've been doing this podcast now for 5 years, and we've never really had an issue with images until recently. But, you know, it was a misunderstanding, and it could have been better communicated on our part, but it was, you know, it was something that in the end worked out all right. But it, you know, we assume that everybody who is participating in the weekly photo challenge listens to the podcast. And, you know, we're at that point now where, you know, there are people that have not listened to our podcast, and so they don't always hear what we're doing. And so if something goes up and they're like, wait, well, you know, what happened? You know, they just joined the group and they're, you know, just kind of going along with what everybody's doing, not understanding what, you know, what we're doing. It can create a lot of confusion. But, you know, for the most part, everybody's been very, you know, gracious with us. And, you know, we don't do this to benefit us. We do this to promote our listeners. And it helps our podcast because it gets people involved. And when people are involved with the podcast, it breeds life into it and helps us to, you know, keep on going, because there's a lot of podcasts out there where people are just talking into a box. And finally, they get tired of hearing themselves. And when they get tired of hearing themselves, or they get tired of trying to think of things to talk about, they lose interest. And next thing you know, the podcast has stopped. And I think it's truly been the listeners who have kept our podcast going and given life, breathe life into it to keep it going. And especially in the last 6 months, our group has grown significantly, and we've gotten a lot of new listeners, and it's really, really cool.
Yeah. And it helps too when iPhone photography and smartphone photography in general is a changing medium as time goes by. So there's always something new to talk about. And I think tonight's a pretty good case in point because, you know, who knew about all this other stuff that I mentioned earlier? I know I sure didn't. And I follow this stuff, you know, I'd say fairly closely.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's probably things that I don't do with my phone that I should be doing to help my photography. But everyone will have their own technique and we don't know everything. That's why we have our audience who can help us and, and they'll tell us too.
Oh yeah.
So very cool. So, we're doing a free for all, a freestyle, images that are submitted will be put onto the, video. If you don't want it, maybe don't post it, but, the other place to post your images for people to see is the regular Facebook group. And you know, it doesn't have to be in this, pinned section for the weekly photo challenge. So if you're on the fence, you know, it's probably better to, not put it on there, but we're gonna post those images onto the video for people to see something, and it's not our, as Bill says, it's not gonna be selfies of us, it's not gonna be our ugly mugs, it's gonna be beautiful images of our listeners and what they're doing with their smartphones.
But if Matt gets the iPhone, if Matt gets the iPhone 10. I'm going to expect some selfies.
That's right. Oh, very cool. All right. I think I have everything that I was supposed to talk about. If not, Mark will tell me later. But and then next week we'll go as normal. Dave will probably be back and we'll try to... get Mark on here because I know he's wanting to talk about the slow shutter aspects. And so, yeah, we got things coming up. So, all right, well, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Greg, thank you for stepping in and being the second voice on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad to do it, Joe. You know that?
Yes.
And I always have fun. I always have a blast.
Yeah, we're gonna pull Greg in as much as we can and you know, get him as a regular voice on here, hopefully. And you know, we'll, especially if you know, if I'm not here or Dave's not here or, you know, somebody's not here, hopefully we'll have a voice to be able to carry on. But why don't you go ahead?
Well, there's only one Thursday night in my 4 week rotation that I have to work a night shift. So the only one that I can't make. But
very cool. All right. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Okay, you can find me on Instagram at Red Door Photos, and I have a couple of websites, reddoor.photos and gregmcmillan.com, where I try to post things once in a while, but most of my photography is on Instagram.
Nice. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our show notes, to YouTube, and to Facebook by going to tinyshutter.com. All right. Well, I think we have ourselves a show here. So, Greg, why don't you say goodnight to everybody?
Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming along.
And we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
That don't make no sense.
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Watch your language, young fella. This is a public market.